today as we come to the table.
Paul, again, talking in the context of suffering, he says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. Notice two things here. He says, if you go through suffering for me that I've appointed you to go through, you'll know my power. You're going to know my power. I'm going to give you my power. And there's nothing like experiencing the power of God in your life, either personally or he uses it for somebody else. It's amazing. He says, I'll give you that power because you're going to need it. He says, but also I'm going to let you, here's your privilege, I'm going to let you enjoy the fellowship of my sufferings. Wow, fellowship of sufferings?
It's uplifting to talk about the power of God, and it should be, but oftentimes when we ask for his power, it's in the context of overcoming the enemy in some dramatic way. He does provide that kind of power, but oftentimes he simply empowers us to endure the sufferings that are inevitable as you follow him in this world. Well, thanks for taking the time to join us as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Mark Kirk, senior pastor of Calvary Knoxville. It may not be something we look forward to, but one of the greatest ways that we can reflect the grace and love of Christ is in the way that we endure tribulation. As Pastor Mark will point out in today's message, the truest measure of God's power in our lives is the peace and joy that we have in the midst of trials. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 as he continues his message, being prepared for tribulation.
I'm your father, and I'm in control of everything. And I can stabilize you, and I can stabilize the world, and I'm going to hold you so that you're not only stabilized, I'm going to comfort you with my spirit and my grace and my peace. It's beautiful. And that's Paul's heart. I love the word he used here for established because it's the exact same word, again, here in the Greek, but then in the Hebrew, exact same word translated in Exodus 17 when it talks about Aaron and Hur, and they were battling the Amalekites. Remember, he sent Joshua out to battle the Amalekites, and it said that Moses put his hands up, but Moses got tired. That's the Hebrew prayer position. It's a picture of Moses praying. And while Moses was there on the mountain praying over the battle, Joshua was defeating, and the men, the children of Israel, were defeating the Amalekites. And it says, as he got tired, you hold his arms up there. He got for a long time, for hours, he began to get tired, and his arms would come down. And every time his arms came down, you'd see the enemy, the Amalekites, start winning. And it's a beautiful picture of how important prayer is if we're going to win the spiritual battle. We have to maintain through prayer so that we have victory over the enemy. But then Moses and Hur, or rather Aaron and Hur, saw that, and they said, wait a minute, his arms are going down. Every time his arms goes down, we lose. Let's help him. And Hur got on one side, Aaron got on the other side. They held up the arms of Moses, and while they held up the arms of Moses, they had the victory over the Amalekites. And what Paul is saying is, I've sent Timothy to hold up your arms. He's there to establish you. He's there so you can pray through this. He's there so that you'll endure and you'll make it and give you the victory over the enemy that you need to have. And that's what we need to be for each other. That's what I need to be for you, praying for you. That's what you need to be for me, praying for me. Listen, I sit in a very privileged position because, again, when there's a focused prayer for Calvary Chapel, a lot of you guys pray for me because it's hard to think about everybody in the church and pray for everybody. You've got your people you pray about, but I'm sure a lot of you are praying for me, whether I ask for it or not. And I love that. People come up to me all the time and say, I'm praying for you, and I believe you. See, when the world says it, you watch the news and somebody, there's something bad happens, they say, well, we're sending our thoughts and prayers your way. And I always wonder, really? Is that just a religious thing to say because it fits in, or are you praying for them? When you guys say to me, Mark, I'm praying for you, I love it. I got a couple of those yesterday, and I'm not asking you to come up and do it today. He's like, y'all better go and tell him, I'm praying for you. But you know what? It's like, Lord, that's really pretty cool. People are praying for me. How encouraging is that? And Paul says, I've sent Timothy there to pray for you, to establish you, to hold up your arms, to let you know you're not alone. You're not alone. It's not just God with you, which is enough, but we're with you as well. And you need to know that this morning. Not only is God with you, which is all you need, by the way. That's all you need. But I'm with you. And all these people sitting around are with you. We're with the family of God. We're one family. And we love each other. And so he says, you need to be established, and I'm establishing you. And then he goes on there in verse 3, notice this, it says that no one should be shaken by these afflictions, for you yourselves know that we were appointed to this. Now, a couple of words I want to point out, shaken and appointed. This is a wonderful and terrible verse, but really it's good, and I'll explain. It's encouraging and challenging. First of all, why is it, again, encouraging? It will be once I give you the full explanation here. He says he doesn't want them to be shaken by the persecution that's happening to them. And then he says they need to remember it was something they've been appointed to. And by knowing it's something that God ordained, you say, all right, I may not like it, but I know God's in control of it. Now, let's give a little bit more definition here. Notice Paul, when he said he knew there were young believers, they were in opposition, being shaken. This is an interesting word. The word shaken here literally means to wag the tail of a dog. It's a dog wagging its tail. That's what this word is. Now, when I thought about that, I thought, well, that's not so scary. I kind of like that. You know, I like seeing them wag their tail, but that's not what he's saying. He said, yeah, maybe something when you see a dog wagging its tail and that looks happy, but if you were some tiny creature holding onto that dog's tail, that wouldn't be a happy moment. Watch how fast it goes. Watch how long it goes. Watch how often throughout the day it goes. Think about that as persecution. Long and often. And if your dog's like mine, it doesn't just go back and forth. It starts going in a circle. Right? So what he's saying is, you guys are holding on there in Thessalonica and you're getting this way. And, he said, I sent Timothy to say, it's going to be okay. Hang on. Hang on. You won't be thrown off if you keep your eyes on the Lord. And I've sent Timothy now to stabilize you, to make sure you're secure. I don't want you to be shaken in this affliction. And it's interesting, the word affliction here means a hemming in and a crushing. Hemming in and a crushing. Paul's saying he doesn't want them to be shaken to the point of feeling hemmed in with no escape and then crushed by the trial. How many of you feel that way this morning? Maybe by some situation you're going through right now. Maybe by COVID-19. You feel hemmed in. I've got to wear a mask. I feel crushed by these restrictions. Where's my freedom? Where's life? How long does this go on? When do we get to breathe freely again, right? All these things. Maybe you're feeling, there could be a number of reasons that you're feeling hemmed in or feeling crushed. And again, at the same time, he's saying there's no reason to feel that way because God, again, says this is going to pass and everything is going to be okay. This may change some, but you know what? God gives us peace and joy and hope in the midst of it if we keep our eyes on him. Feeling crushed. I never really felt totally crushed, but I did get a little bit nervous one time. We were in Jerusalem. It was Jerusalem Day. And in Jerusalem Day, they celebrate when the Jews took back Jerusalem in 1967 and the 1967 battle they had there. And they literally packed the streets. And I remember saying, okay, it's Jerusalem Day. Let's go downtown. Let's get right in the middle of the crowd. So we're back in all the streets of Jerusalem, heading toward the Temple Mount area on one of these side areas over there. And I mean, all of a sudden the crowd just moved in and we're like in the middle of it. And a buddy of mine, we're like in the middle of it. And I'm telling you, have you ever been in a situation where now the crowd's taking you? You ever been there? I mean, we got close. It's like, whoa, it's getting a little bit tight. And literally picked up off the ground. I was being moved back and forth. I was like, oh, this is kind of interesting. You know, it's like, but Lord, you keep me safe here type thing, right? Got a little scary, but I'm thinking, well, we can't all die. I mean, there's walls on both sides. I think we'll be okay, right? And sure enough, you get through it and you finally make it through and you go, wow, that was kind of freaky. That's what the word means here. It means all of a sudden, unexpectedly, everything closes in on you, and it's like you're being picked up and moved around, and you're not even really wanting to do that. Is that not what's happening to us right now in our society? So this is very appropriate for us. He's saying, don't be shaken. Don't be shaken. Stand firm. The Lord is in control, and not only is he in control, are you ready for this? Here we go. You're appointed to it. Oh, my goodness. He could have left that part out, right? What do you mean I'm appointed to this? What he's saying is God knew that we'd be going through this virus. God knew we'd be going through our personal struggles. God knew where we'd be in this generation where we are. He said, I appointed you, and because I appointed you to go through it, I'm going to give you the grace and the joy and the peace to endure it. And I'm going to use you in it for my glory. It's all a part of my plan. I'm doing something in your life. I'm doing something in the lives of the people around you. It's a much grander plan eternally that God's working on, and we have to keep that grand vision in mind. He says, you've been appointed to this. That is, while sometimes things can feel shaky and crushing as a believer, maybe persecution, a tribulation, or even just something like this virus, God's made it an appointment for us. Why? First, that we might receive a reward following him and suffering with him by being a witness in the world through this. But secondly, so that we might, and note this, we might partake in his suffering and know him more intimately. Know him more intimately. Listen to what it says in Philippians 1:29. For to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake. How many of you feel like it's a privilege that you've been granted to be able to suffer for Jesus? It may not feel like a privilege. You know, give somebody else that privilege. I'm doing fine, right? It's been granted to you to suffer for his sake. Why? Because when you suffer for Jesus, you not only share in his sufferings, you get reward eternally in heaven. You get to rejoice with him for what he's done on the cross. You see how great this is? It's a gift. God has given you a gift to be able to be suffering for him, a gift to be appointed to go through persecution and tribulation. Although it may not feel that way, although it may not be something we naturally enjoy in our flesh, and don't get me wrong, most of us, we shouldn't really enjoy that. But there's a joy, and there's a realizing, Lord, you went through some of this. I know you went through way more than I did, but for me to get to go through some of it for your sake and to be a witness for you and get rewarded for it, you've got to be kidding me. Yeah, I've granted that to you. And made the appointment, you know? Amazing. You think about making an appointment, you know, I'd have to do everything in my phone because it's like if I don't put it in my phone, it'll never happen, right? So I put it in my phone and my phone reminds me, that's right. You know, I have to go do whatever. God has put everything on your calendar. It's there. And he knows about it. He doesn't need reminders, but it's on your calendar. If you were to scroll through your calendar in heaven, what's my calendar? I don't want to do that. I wouldn't want to do that, right? On this day, he breaks his wrist. I don't want to see that. You'd get to that day, be panicking, right? No, you just don't scroll, just trust God. But it's all appointed. He says, even the hard times, it's been appointed. Here we are. And so, but there's eternal reward. But again, there's more. Look at what it says in Philippians 3:10. Paul, again, talking in the context of suffering. He says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. Notice two things here. He says, if you go through suffering for me that I've appointed you to go through, you'll know my power. You're going to know my power. I'm going to give you my power. And there's nothing like experiencing the power of God in your life, either personally or he uses it for somebody else. It's amazing. He says, I'll give you that power because you're going to need it. He says, but also I'm going to let you, here's your privilege, I'm going to let you enjoy the fellowship of my sufferings. Wow, fellowship of sufferings? That's hard to even imagine, just to think about fellowship of suffering. Let me try to put this in a way you may be able to grasp it. You guys come to me oftentimes, and people go to people for counseling, and oftentimes when you come for counseling, I've not been through what you're going through. I can't really know what you're feeling to the depths, but I know what God's word says, and I can pray for you and share with you what God's word says, and God will use that to comfort you and encourage you because it's coming from God. But when one of you guys comes to me and you say, Pastor Mark, I need to ask you about something, and you say, and it's something I've been through, I'm there. There's a fellowship. I understand what you're suffering. There's a heart. Everything changed. Like, man, come here. Because how are you doing? What do you do when that happens? Let's pray. And what happens is your heart goes, you know what? I know what you're feeling. And now my heart's connected to yours, and I can pray with more passion, more, Lord, please. And whatever this, you know, and you, whatever the situation is, and you cry out, not that you're not praying from your heart before, but something changes when there's a fellowship, there's a relationship. Oftentimes when people go through the same things, you can link them up in the body of Christ and they encourage each other. Why? Because they both know what they're feeling. What he's saying is, you're not going to fully know what I'm feeling. You're not going to fully understand me unless I allow you to suffer some. You'll never suffer the cross. I did that alone. You'll never suffer for your sins. I did that alone. That would be too much for you to handle, Mark. But I'll let you go through some suffering. I'll let you go through some heartache and some pain. I'll appoint some really difficult times in your life because I want to grow you. I want to use you to bring me glory. And I want to have fellowship in a deeper way than we could ever have. You know what? If you're never betrayed, Mark, you'll never know what it felt like to me that night in the garden when Judas walked up and kissed me on the cheek. You'll never know. But now you do. And now you can pray with passion. And now you can also say, Lord, you did this. Lord, I know what you're feeling. Lord, and fill in the blank. Whatever you go through that God's been through, there's a fellowship there. It's sweet. And again, not only that, we get eternal reward for it. Knowing him more intimately and getting eternal reward. It's beautiful. And look what he says there in verse 4. He says, for in fact, we told you before when we were with you that we would suffer tribulation, just as it happened. And so you know, he's saying, look, I warned you in advance. I told you we're going to suffer persecution. I said, look, guys, you're in Thessalonica. You've just become new believers. You're starting a church. They're not going to be happy around you. They're not going to be happy because they're living in darkness and you're living in light. And when darkness and light come together, there's friction. It doesn't work well. I want you to be ready for that. Your family will reject you. Your friends will reject you. Your society will reject you. They'll call you all kinds of names. They'll label you all types of things. I want you to be ready for that. Now, not everybody does that. I get that, and that's great. We don't want it. I'm glad not everybody does, but a lot do. A lot do. He said, I warned you in advance you would experience this earthly tribulation so you wouldn't be surprised and discouraged. And how many of us are surprised and discouraged when it happens? God, how could you let this happen in my life? What do you mean, how could I let it happen? I appointed it. I put it on the calendar. Really? Well, why would you do that? I thought you loved me. It's because I do love you. I can't do in your life, Mark, what I want to do unless I make this appointment. Are you serious? I got to go get a shot. I don't want a shot. I feel healthy. I don't want to get that surgery. I'm putting it in earthly terms. He's saying, I've got to give you a spiritual shot. I've got to give you some spiritual surgery here. And you know what? It's going to be a little painful. I'll give you some painkillers. It won't be overwhelming. You're going to be sore in heart for a while. You're going to be sad some. You might even get depressed, Mark. But when it's over, I'll lift you out of it. I'll fill you with joy again, and you're not going to be the same person you were. And Mark, do you really want to be who you are now? No, sir. I don't want you that way either. So, are you ready? I guess. You trust me? Yeah. Here we go. That's what it's like with our Father. That's how he works in our life. And if we understand it, things are so much easier when they happen. He warned them so they wouldn't be worried. Jesus said in John 16:33, these things I've spoken to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer, for I've overcome the world. First he gives them the bad news, then he tells them the good news, and that is he encourages them by saying, the world's going to kick you around some, but I've beaten the world, I've conquered it, which means when they do kick you around, I'm not going to let them unless I approve it, but when it happens, I'm going to give you the grace and the mercy and the power and the love, and I'm going to use it for my glory and to grow you and for you to for your glory as well in the future kingdom and reward. So be encouraged. There's a plan. There's a reason for it. It's not random suffering. It's not, why did this happen to me when everyone else seems to be able to whatever, right? He's like, I realize that, but I've appointed you to this. I want you to trust me. This life goes by fast. It's just like that and you're done. Some faster than others. But when it's all done, it's not going to matter anymore. As what did Paul say? He said, the suffering we experience today is not even to be compared to the eternal weight of glory. What a beautiful phraseology, the weight of glory. Come on, you heavy man. Whoa. Glory, right? He says, it's not even going to be comparable. And when he says it here in the language, it means I warned you about this, that it was going to happen. It means I warned you over and over and over. That is, it wasn't just something Paul said in passing. He told them on a regular basis, it's going to happen to you. And again, that didn't sound encouraging for a new church and a new believer to keep telling them times are going to be tough. But at the same time, that's what it was going to be like in Thessalonica. And so he had to keep telling them over and over so they'd be ready. Now, I don't know how tough it's going to get for us in these last days. I don't know. But I want you to be ready if it gets tougher. I want you to be mentally prepared that God's not going to give you more than you can handle, and he's the one appointing it, so we've got to trust him. We've got to trust him. Again, the word tribulation that he uses here is the same root word of the word affliction that he used earlier. We talked about getting crushed and squashed. Here it literally means blocked and squashed is what it means. As we spoke earlier, one is you're just getting kind of hemmed in, which is the same kind of thing, and squashed. This is like you're blocked, so maybe you feel hemmed in. Now you feel like you can't move forward, and you're being squashed as well. That's even scarier, I think. But both Jesus and Paul warned us this would sometimes happen, and we need to expect it. And again, it may not seem comforting, but it shows that we're right on track and that God's in control. And knowing that he has overcome the world, that he's greater than all of it, gives us comfort because he's not going to give us more than we can handle, and he's in control. Everything looks crazy right now, doesn't it? Is there anything crazy? God's in control of it. You know, why is God letting it happen? I don't know all the whys of God, as they say. I don't know that. But I know that God's in control. He can stop it anytime he wants. He can allow it to get worse anytime he wants. He's in control, and we've got to trust him. And then Paul finishes up here. Notice verse 5, and he says, for this reason, when I could no longer endure it. He keeps talking about it. I had to find out how you guys were. I couldn't stand it. I love you so much, and I knew what you were facing, and I got out of there, but you're still in the middle of it. I sent to know your faith. Lest by some means the tempter had tempted you and our labor might be in vain. Maybe the enemy tricked you and pulled you away. Maybe once I got run out of town, the enemy came in and said, this Christianity thing's not worth it. Walk away from it. You don't need this. And by the way, I think as we get more and more persecution on the church here in America, you guys are going to have a decision to make. Do you want to be called names? Do you want to be labeled? Do you want to be given a hard time? Or are you going to say, you know what? It's actually a lot easier just to not tell them I'm a Christian. Just don't let them know, right? Matter of fact, I don't know that I'll keep going to church because it seems like everybody's turning in on the Christians now. They're the bad guys. That's not happening yet, but I think it's going to happen. The heat's already turning up on Israel. You can watch this. Satan's very predictable. He turns up the heat on Israel, then he turns up the heat on the church because those are his two main enemies. God's promises to Israel will be fulfilled. He tries to thwart that. God's promises to the church will be fulfilled. He tries to thwart that. So as it begins to happen, and it's going to happen, you know, we need to be ready for it. We need to be prepared for that. And we need to say, you know, am I going to walk away? Am I going to walk? It says, the Bible says in the last days, and this goes in the context of the days of sorrow, which I think we've entered into. It says there will be a falling away among the church. Look, this doesn't make me happy to say this, but I'm going to say it. There's going to be a lot of people that are in the church right now. I don't know that in Calvary Chapel, maybe, but in the church, there's going to be a lot of people here very soon that are just going to start disappearing. It's not worth it. I'm not going to go to church anymore. I'm not going to be around that. I'm tired of it. I'm not going to take the persecution. You see, if it's not real, you're not going to put up with real trouble. The only people that put up with real trouble is when it's real. And you better ask yourself today, is it real? Because if it's not real, you're not getting in the kingdom. It's got to be a real relationship with Jesus Christ. Those are going to be the people that endure till the end, and those are going to be the ones that get in the kingdom of God. And so we all have a choice to make. We all are basically faced with a decision. Has Satan pulled us away? What has the tempter done? You know, and I would end us with that today. And what decision are you going to make? Have you made a decision? Where do you stand with the Lord today? Is this real? What happens if tomorrow, if the government said tomorrow, forget COVID, forget all the masks, no limits. Let's say that's not a factor. New rule. Anybody that goes to church, we're throwing you in jail. How many of you would be here next Sunday? Don't answer me. Answer in your heart right now. What would you do? You say, I wouldn't. I mean, I'll come to church, but I'm not going to go to prison, right? If you're saying that in your heart, guys, you have a decision to make. Where's your commitment? Is it real? Do you really know the Lord? Or is it just religion? Listen, if it's religion, it's going to fade. There's going to be a falling away in the last days. Churches aren't going to get bigger. They're going to get smaller. Unless there's a whole bunch of less churches and everybody congregates together. That could get bigger. You could see some big churches. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying you're going to see a falling away. Don't be that person. Make your commitment to Christ and stand on it. And I'm going to encourage you. And I want to challenge you today. Make a stand right now in your heart. And I'm going to pray with us as believers in here that we wouldn't be those that fall away when persecution comes, because it is coming. And we'll trust God in that. But if you don't know the Lord, you say, and you're saying, I wouldn't do that because whatever, and it doesn't even bother you, that's probably an indication you don't know Christ. If you know the Lord and you're kind of scared about going to jail, you're probably honestly going, I don't want to go to jail, but I love Jesus. That's probably just normal. That's called being a human. But if you're saying, it's not worth coming to church for that. They said, Pastor Law, I wouldn't be here, that's for sure. You need to give your life to the Lord. You need to make a commitment today.
The New Testament letters of 1st and 2nd Thessalonians are good reminders that people in the past had the same concerns as many might have today. There can be an uncertainty of what's to come, and when everyone starts to speculate, it gets tricky to discern what's true and what's not. If you're finding yourself becoming stagnant in your faith, this book is like drinking some fresh water, as it brings about the right perspective on Christ's return and what that means for those who are followers of Jesus. If you aren't familiar with this kind of faith and are wondering what it means to become a follower of Jesus, don't hesitate to ask us any questions. You can connect at thewaymedia.net by clicking on the Come to the Table section, or give our church office a call at 865-609-1385. Again, that number is 865-609-1385. If you're in the Knoxville area, please come to get to know us at Calvary Knoxville. We meet every Sunday and we'd be excited to hear your story. Simply go to thewaymedia.net and find the Calvary Knoxville link to get service times and directions. If these teachings have been helpful for you and you'd like to hear more from this series and the letters to the Thessalonians, we encourage you to find them on thewaymedia.net. We'd be happy to have you join us for our next edition. Keep reading through God's Word until we again come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.